Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
We have some quick takeouts now on stories we're following this week, and let's go to Washington first with Todd Zwillick, the Takeaways Washington correspondent. So, Todd, we talked to you earlier today about counting the votes, about how the Democrats are counting up who might vote on the public option. But, you know, in order to get this public option passed, at this point, there's a lot of discussions going on behind doors on what kind of compromises they're going to have to make, right, to make the public option palatable.
Well, that's exactly what's going on, Celeste. Rahm Emanuel, White House Chief of Staff, was back on the Hill last night meeting with Harry Reid and Max Baucus and just one or two other senators, and the public option was a topic of those discussions last night. Now, we've been talking a lot about the public option. It is important, but it's far from the only issue that's important here, but it is the most visible one. You know, we've been talking about this week how moderate and conservative Democrats in the Senate seem to be warming up to the idea of the public option. Before, they said, no way, we're for a co-op, we're not for any public option, but they've been kind of warming up to it as long as it's not based on Medicare, and we've certainly talked about that. Well, for every moderate or conservative Democrat who says, yes, okay, we can accept sort of a weaker public option, there's a liberal who says, no way, we want a strong one, we're not going to go with anything milquetoast. Well, there are signs now that even the liberals might be bending towards that middle as well. Not only the moderates bending in, but the liberals bending in. Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia, you remember him, he was the strongest proponent of the robust public option man in the Finance Committee, who has been saying, I only want the strong public option. Well, some of the moderates have been saying, you know, maybe states should be able to opt out of the public option. You know, so if they don't like it or they don't want to do it, they can just opt out of it. And before, Rockefeller
that
said, no way.
Yeah, no way.
He said, that's too weak. Well, here was Jay Rockefeller yesterday when we asked him about it.
I'm looking very much now at this opt out public option, not opt in, but opt out. So you start out with a public option, and then if you don't like it, you can opt out. And that has a sense of freedom. Opt out, you know, get out of jail, be happy.
Be happy.
Interesting, well, he's comparing the public option to jail there.
Right. Get out of jail. Well, be happy about opting out. You know who else is happy about it? Ben Nelson of Nebraska, a Democrat, but really sort of in the Democratic Party, Rockefeller's ideological opposite.
Right.
So there are signs of coalescing around some moderate ground on the public option in the Senate.
Well, we'll see how well that works and whether it actually gets the bill passed. Todd Zwillick is the Takeaways Washington correspondent.
This voice is something of the voice of the public option in the House of Representatives.
The idea of a public option is to, first of all, provide competition, because in some parts of the country, there are only one or two insurance companies.
That's Henry Waxman, Congressman Henry Waxman, who spoke on the program yesterday. And our last takeout brought a real big response from you.
The public option is discussed by Waxman is neither public nor is optional. That means that it's not available to anybody in the public. Only about 5% of the population might qualify for it. And it's not optional. It's not something that anybody can just choose.
Ellie emailed us to say, to keep costs down for people that can't afford insurance, a low-cost government-run plan would force insurance companies to be competitive in their plan prices for the rest of the country. Without that, prices will stay the same or possibly go up.
And some of your takeouts were a little personal.
This is Marcia from Florida. I lost my health care as a result of a divorce. I have a pre-existing condition of a heart attack, and I've been underemployed or unemployed for close to 2 years. There is no option for me.
Actually, Todd Zwillick says some people like Marcia may actually be affected in some of the bills being considered in the House. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Facebook, Twitter, keep your responses coming, whichever way you like on the public option.
And today we're asking you about salaries. The Obama administration said yesterday it's going to cut the pay, sometime, in some cases in half, for companies that took billions of dollars in government aid. But do you think the government should be able to limit bankers' pay and perks? Fred emails us. I'm a practicing anesthesiologist. Many of the decisions that I make have a significant impact because they carry the life of a critically ill patient in the balance. Currently, my compensation amounts to about $80 an hour, and that could even be in the middle of the night. But as long as a bank is supported by the government, then the government should have a say in pay. These experts screwed it up in the first place. I guess that's an answer to the fact that these guys are making important decisions, and they deserve lots of pay.
Anesthesiologists are important.
Yeah, tell us your take.
You want those guys to be
8778-MY-TAKE, or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
And Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen is the Takeaway Sports contributor with our next takeout this morning. So the Phillies get to go back to the World Series. The game last night was full of big hits. Ibrahim, what did you see last night?
Well, they're the new big red machine, which harkens
good.
Back to
That's
Cincinnati.
Good. Cincinnati Reds,
75-76 when they won. 74-75, I believe it was, when they won two World Series in a row coming from
right.
the National League. But the story last night was the inability of the Dodgers pitching to get anything done.
Oh,
Vicente Padilla,
Dodgers.
who had been lights out in his game two start, I believe it was, at Dodger Stadium, he was terrible last
yeah.
night. And then they brought in Troncoso. They brought in Kershaw, who would have been tomorrow's starter if they had won, and they all gave up big hits. They all hit batters. They pitched terrible.
These scores were huge, and last night's was no different. 10-4, the Phillies win. Who's going to stop these bats in the World Series, the Angels or the Yankees?
Ooh, that's a good question. So you're basically asking who's going to win tonight.
Right.
With the Yankees and the Angels playing. And I personally believe that A.J. Burnett is going to be able to give you four or five solid innings. And then the Yankees bullpen, which got a rest in the last game, is going to come through with some healthy arms to be able to provide that relief. And then I think they're going to be able to stop them. However, John Lackey is a really tough right-hander.
Yeah.
He's pitched in elimination games before. The 2002 World Series, in the Game 7, he pitched that game as well, and they won. He is a big game pitcher.
He is.
And he's tough. And I think he's actually making an audition for the Yankees as well, because he's going to be a free agent after this. And I think that he's one of the guys that they're looking to pick up for next season.
A fired up Angel team I would give the edge to tonight,
because
there's a lot of pressure. Burnett can't go beyond five innings typically, and that puts a lot of pressure on Jabba Chamberlain, and he did not look great the last time out.
I think if you're thinking about Jabba, they're probably going to go with – they might go with Jabba for a couple outs, but they're really going to go with David Robertson. They're going to go with Aceves.
Hughes.
And Aceves is better earlier in earlier innings. I think David Robertson is going to be a key to this to this win tonight. And then, of course, the closer, the guy, Mariano Rivera, the best closer of all time.
Who are the heroes? Where are the heroes on the California Angels?
It may be. I'm gonna throw something out there, but someone like Chone Figgins, because he hasn't had a good series. This might be, if you're saying they're gonna come fired up, he might come out and have a big game. And there's been different heroes at different nights, but a guy who's kind of been under the radar might come out tonight if the emotion carries them through.
If the Angels win tonight, where does the championship series go?
Well, then it goes back to New York.
Comes back to New York.
Correct.
And then?
Then it makes it a little bit more difficult. But then there's a wild card there. You know, in 2004, the Yankees were up 3-0 on the Red Sox, and Johnny Damon and company for the Red Sox at the time beat the Yankees 4-3. So anything can happen, and I think the Yankees, above all else, other teams, know that anything can happen.
So, Ibrahim, should the government regulate Alex Rodriguez's salary? What do you think?
That's hilarious.
You got two seconds.
That's hilarious,
I think they spent like $400 million or something.
That's a lot of money. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. What do you think? Should the feds regulate bank salaries? And what about what you take home? 877-8-MY-TAKE.